because I know that gradually as the time goes on, you'll get more and more and more questions, and that's really good because that means I'm doing my job, and which means you need to go home and do some more study for yourself. Now, what I say to people is, use my stuff until you get your own stuff, and then once you get your own stuff, use your own stuff. Don't carry on using my stuff. Because my stuff is still helping you to get your stuff. So once you get your stuff, stop using my stuff. Right? Because my thing, I don't want to have a whole lot of little Ians running around the face of the earth. I want to have a whole lot of kingdom freaks running around the face of the earth. Okay, all I'm doing is I'm saying, this is what I've done that I found helpful for me, that's engaged me, and use some of that process that I've engaged to actually help you engage and go deeper in your relationship with the presence of God. That will be really helpful for you. And so it's just important that we do some of these things. There was a number of things in here we didn't talk about, which I just want to go through, and then I'm going to carry on just talking about this, because once you see how this thing works, it really, for me, opens up a whole lot of possibilities of things that become really quite freaky. And when those things begin to unlock, it gets unusual because there's no record of where the stuff is, what happens in it, and it's all new. And so to try and create semantics that explain stuff when there's no one has talked about it before is quite a hard thing. About 5 months ago, I started talking about transdimensionalating. No one talks about it yet, but let me tell you something. It's blasted real, because every other dimensional world is looking at this dimension, wondering what the people on the earth are doing, because they're the only ones that hold the record to be able to rule the rest of it. Our DNA, we are the only creatures made in the image of God that carry DNA and the record of it that has the potential to rule everything. We're the only ones. And everything else out there, way beyond out there, I'm not just talking about our universe, with 400 billion galaxies in it, beyond the border of light, where creation is still happening. That's how you learn to make galaxies, you go there. Everything beyond that is also looking into this. Because the Bible says the whole of creation is everything that was ever made. Not just the earth. Oh, I can feel you all going, does that fit in my theology? It's a nice square peg. I wonder if I can force it into my round hole. We have some things, there's some other things that I wrote on here that I'll just talk about quickly. You and I get born in darkness as a human being. We then, through salvation, get to see the light. Once we have seen the light, we then can become children of light. That's what Jesus says. Walk in the light, no, and you are called children of light. We become children of light. And then once we become children of light, we then get empowered to walk in the light. Once we get empowered to walk in the light, we then get given the authority to express the image of light. We then get given the capacity to live in the light. And then we become light. So we go back all the way to what we were before we were in the earth. Because you were light before you were in the earth. Creative light, not created light. Two different light speeds, you get the CD. We've got to understand these simple things so we can see that God is actually wanting to bring us back to what we were in the original first place. So that all of that can be expressed through us into the earth, so we can totally change all of what is into that which is already established in eternity. So that all of this takes on the reflection of that. And then when all of this takes on the reflection of that, that is going to invade this. Yeehaw. And then that and this will make what is to come. Because the two form an arc to set government in place. So let's just turn this over here. I'm sorry, on the side here, we've got there in the kingdom of God and in the kingdom of the earth, this is known as the realm of light and dark. What we have above the realm of the kingdom of God, which goes in the kingdom of heaven all the way up, is known as the realm of light. All of this is the atmosphere of heaven, and down this here is the atmosphere associated with what Adam was given governmental protocol over to train him to maturity so he could rule in all the rest. Our function as a kingdom isn't just to enjoy the provision of what God has given us, but actually there's a responsibility to walk into the fullness of that expression here on the face of the earth so we can come into that as a son. Now yesterday we kind of talked a little bit about, reflections, right? The children of Israel believe that they are a reflection of something. A reflection means a sliver taken from something that has the other half still there, but is not necessarily connected. So if you take a ball and cut it in half, you hold half the ball here and the other half of the ball there, they're a reflection of one another. And they're joined together really nicely. Let's just say that there is a veil that sits here. And perhaps on the other side of the veil, there is a reflection that is in heaven of that which is on the earth. See, when Ezekiel, when he saw a wheel, the influence and information that comes from a wheel, when you look at the moon, can you tell me that it is a sphere? Can you tell me it's a sphere? You can't, because you look at it, because it's so big and so far away, your depth perception of it is not correct. So when Ezekiel was saying, I see a wheel within a wheel, with eyes all the way round about, actually what he was saying is, there is a sphere within a sphere within a sphere with eyes all the way round about. Well, what are eyes? Well, they're doorways. Well, the Bible called your eyes the doorway to the soul. So let's just say, there's doorways on all of these. And let's say that it points out this way, because it must be a complete reflection of everything that's going around there. So what you end up with is a cube like this, with a wheel, with a sphere, within a sphere, within a sphere. Because this here is the sides of the square. So this is where you get four corners from. And so when God said his compass, in Proverbs 7 there were eight there, when God set his compass and formed the heavens, this is what God was doing, unfolding the cloth of eternity and forming it all inside here. So all that we know is in a nice little box. You know, it's amazing because the scientific community sent a particle beam, light beam, out into the ether world. Some years it bounced back. It kind of freaked them out because they thought it would go on forever. It bounced back. And the radio frequency that it came back with was at 150 megahertz. The scientific community made a statement. The only thing that exists at 150 megahertz is something that we call a hologram. Perhaps we are only living in a hologram. Wow. That gives me goosebumps on my goosebumps. That's what I keep on saying to people. This is not real. You quantum physically are 99.9% empty space. Hi, Mrs. Empty. Nice to see you. That's why you can pass through one another, by the way. Every solid thing is 99.9% empty space. So if I'm empty space, and it's empty space, and I'm not real, and it's not real, it doesn't exist, and I don't exist, and therefore I can walk through it. If you believe it. Because actually your conditioning is based on what your parents did, what their parents thought, their life experiences, and you are the sum of all of their experiences, and the way you operate is out of the record stored in your autosomes. You've got 44 autosomes and two chromosomes. Is this 23, 26, yeah, 46. So 44 autosomes, on those autosomes is a record that carries the fullness of the knowledge of all that your parents, all the way down to Adam have ever done. Is a written statement. That's why the Bible says the blood of Christ that cleanses us from the enmity of sin recorded against us. And I need you to see, it's not what you've done. It's recorded. That's why the Bible says God is coming back to a spotless bride without spot or wrinkle. So a spot is a record in darkness. Have you ever seen the autosomes when they lay them out in a computer and they actually begin to look at the autosomes and the records of the autosomes? they kind of have these black and white markings that go along a line. I've got a suggestion for you. Perhaps the black markings are records of darkness held in your DNA that the enemy also has record of. And so anytime he needs a platform, he triggers your DNA because he's got access to it. And that's why people, when there's writing, people who are teachers and well-to-do people in society go writing. Have you ever wondered why? It's because they've been triggered in the record that's in their autosome, and they behave the way that they shouldn't be behaving because it's already in them, and they just engage that and they become that thing because it expresses through their body. Is this freaking you out or what? You see, because the Bible says something like this. As in the days of Noah, so shall our days be. So for us to understand the days of Noah, we've got to go all the way back to the days of Noah and try and figure out what Noah's day was like. Well, let's just see something here. Noah was perfect in his generation. That's what the Bible says. The word perfect in his generation means perfected in his genealogy, which means there was no mixture in his DNA. Have you ever wondered why they're doing DNA experiments? As in the days of Noah, so shall thy days be. Nephilim, mixing with human seed, all gathered around the Tower of Babel, using their knowledge from the creative power that they came out of that world with a full knowledge of that, trying to engage man so man would sin and make a name for them to go back into heaven again. A tower wasn't a tower, it was a stargate. See, what God is engaging the church in today is get your DNA cleaned up. Because as in the days of Noah, if God used Noah and he was perfect in his genealogy, in his genes, and there was no rubbish in connection with anything and mixture stored in his genes, then we've got to use and deal with our junk stored in our genes. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to be triggered by the enemy. I don't like it when he comes along and goes, trigger, and you behave and you do something you don't really want to do, and you go, why on earth am I doing that? Have you ever wondered where this stuff comes from? A record that's held in darkness, a spot that's in the bride. So we've got to deal with the spots. This thing here gets really, really interesting when you begin to, look how this thing all functions. A cube is a really, really interesting little device. It has six sides on it. And so when you unroll a cube, it looks like that. And so when you look at all this, when you look into a cube on one side, there's six dimensions to every facet of a cube. Let's talk about God for a minute. Shane Willard does some of this stuff. How many of you ever heard Shane Willard? So I'm just going to copy a bit of his stuff here just so you can get an understanding of this. Mr. Stick Figure, lift your arm off the page. Wait a minute. He's a two-dimensional being that has absolutely no reference in any form. None. Big fat zero. If you take a pen and you take it into a two-dimensional world, all you'll see is an oblong, a circle, and an oval circle like that, depending on where you're holding the pen inside the cube. Does that tell you that there's 36 dimensions in that? No. So let's just say we've now got Adam and you've got Eve, who actually live in three dimensions but have the capacity to live in four. But predominantly we live in three. And we have a 36 dimensional God that comes into a three-dimensional world, being's world, and goes, come up here. We have no reference for it. It's like asking the two-dimensional stick figure, lift your arm off the page. What I do find very exciting is that God has given us the capacity to become like him. So if he's given us the capacity to become like him, it means I too, I'm going to have the capacity to move in every single one of these dimensions. So then I will know the height, the depth, or the height and the depth and the breadth of my calling. Right? So if we were to, I'm just going to do something here for you, which I find fascinating. If you were to take the height, the depth, the width and the breadth of your calling, and just create an image on top of it like this, you have a pyramid. I just find that stuff interesting. It's not some, well, it has got significance, but it's all good. And so one of the key issues that God is wanting us as beings to understand is that there is a timeless world that is known as the realm of His presence, which we have the capacity to go into and out of and step into to learn to understand all the other dimensional worlds that our Father moves in. And it all starts off with you not staying here, but it starts off with you going into where He is, engaging that and becoming part of that and functioning in that until all of those things begin to open up for you. And for me, this gets really exciting because it means that when I understand the height and depth and breadth of my calling, I can go up and down, to and fro, and I can go outside of up and down, to and fro, because God gives me the capacity to see from the outside in as well as from the inside out. See, there's a few other little issues that I find very, very interesting. On here, on the menorah, there's something that, I'm just going to draw this for you here. Let's go back to this for a minute. There's a bit of a problem, because light empowers you to move transdimensionally. Sorry for the physics lesson, but if Jesus calls you a children of light, you need to understand the function of light. Okay? Einstein did a good, fantastic teaching on light. Just get the CD. Einstein's theory of relativity, if you could move at the speed of light, you would cease to exist. That's physically. That's why Jesus could pop in and out of space. And by the way, He did that before He died. Now, how many of you know He did that before He died? 8 of you. Unless you're all lying. See, the Bible says about Jesus that Jesus went into the temple and He was teaching in the temple, and the Pharisees and Sadducees came to Him and said to Him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of God?" And Jesus goes, "Yep, yep, yep." And they go, "Ah!" tear their garments. They pick up stones to stone Jesus. And the Bible says this wonderful little thing. Jesus hid Himself in the temple. To a Greek, it means He ran away from them, got behind some pillar that aren't there, and tried to hide from the Pharisees, who have stones to kill Him. No. Because the next verse explains what it means when He hid Himself. Because it says He passed right before them, and they did by no means see Him. It means moving into creative light from created light and experiencing the life of created light now rather than when I die. So, light has some powerful things associated with it. The way that they cut the stones in the pyramids, by the way, was with light technology. The way that they moved them was with sound and light technology. The way they placed them was with light technology. I just thought you might like to know that. If this is the cube here, the unfortunate part is there's a door at the base of the menorah. So let's just say that Satan also knew about some of these other dimensional worlds. And when he was trading in Ezekiel 28, he made some trades with other beings that were out there to try and give them access into this atmosphere so they could take the DNA and actually use it to try and become us, because they want the record, because they want to have government, and we're the only ones that can do it, because we're the only ones in recorded history created the way we are to carry that government, to be able to rule in the heavens, to be able to bear the DNA of the Father to look like Him. What happens is this. It's we have beings that use light technology to come in through the base of the candlestick, into the door, come into the kingdom of the earth, engage the earth, and try and take stuff out of the earth. That's what the sons of God did. And there's other stuff that's also trying to do the same thing. Because everything wants a piece of this. You've got to see how important you are. You've got to see the role or responsibility that the Father has given you to engage His kingdom so that you can bring his kingdom to bear, because all of creation is looking at you going, you wimpy little foolish creature, do you not know what you have the capacity to become? And we go, oh, I don't like Sister Rub. She said she didn't like me yesterday. Well, let's just get this straight. There's a lot of things that don't like you that are a little bit more powerful than Sister Rub. There's a lot of things that want you not to fulfill your call and destiny, because when you do, you put them out of position. There's a lot of things that hold your mountains and hold your provision and hold all that God has stored for you, because they know that if you get one little inkling that you can go and get hold of it, they're done. That's why I keep on saying the whole of creation is looking into this. They did something with the that spacecraft that went past Mars, and they've just landed another spacecraft on Mars, by the way. Did you know that? I could really tell them what's there, but you know, it's just go have a look, because you can. I'm serious. The problem is, we don't believe we can do it, because you don't understand we're creative light beings. We're stuck in this little body that's going to die and going to deteriorate, because it's a created light thing. I'm a creative light being, which gives me the capacity to move outside of the knowledge of all of this world into a kingdom world that my Father can unlock for me, so I can know the height and depth and breadth of my calling in all of that. I'm just going to say this to you. Over the next number of years, there's going to be some very interesting things coming out of space. The UN just appointed their first ambassador to extraterrestrials last June. I just thought you might like to know that as well. So it kind of gives you an idea of what they're trying to prepare humankind for. Listen, we've got to know how to deal with junk that comes to us down here. And it isn't with guns. It's with a realm of glory, of created light that can destroy everything that the enemy is trying to create, because the enemy cannot live in light. Listen, you can move faster than a spacecraft, because you've got thought speed. And you've also got a throne. You need to understand what you look like when you sit on your throne. I know I'm really stretching some of you here, and it's just good for you. We'll just stretch you so far out there that when your string comes back to normality, you'll never be the same. See, Ezekiel is a fantastic description of what you look like when you sit on your throne. You know, I saw one likened to the Son of Man sitting on a throne with fire enfolding in itself, with down below the loins of fire and up of the glory, and he describes what you look like. Jesus is the Son of Man. We look like him. So when the Bible says, I saw one that was likened to the Son of Man, he's not saying he was the Son of Man. He's saying, hey, I'm seeing those that are like him. See, God has given us a throne to move on, to have domain and rulership in all of the galaxies, in all of the stars, in all of that stuff that's out there. All of that stuff is waiting for you to realign it to its original purpose. The Bible says the stars declare the glory of the Lord. God set them in place, not the devil, by the way. You just need to know that. God made them, not the devil. God has a path for them. He set the pathway in place, not the devil. God has a purpose for their light to be shining, and he set that in place, not the devil. God has a sound that each star emits, and the devil didn't create their sound. What he's done is he's messed with it, so it fights against us. Holy Spirit, help me, Jesus. Because of the way God has made us in a finite body, we've got to begin to engage our spirit man so we can become an infinite being. Our spirit man needs to be brought back to hosting our body instead of our body hosting our spirit. When we begin to engage the kingdom world, your spirit man has the capacity to extend to the outside of your body, the same way as in the menorah picture when I did the pieces that are connected here like this. Let's just go through these a little bit here too. Like, let's just draw some of these things in here. Like that. Well, this is actually just a picture of the temple. We have an outer court, an inner court, a holy place, and the Holy of Holies where God sits. This is like your body that has a body, a soul, a spirit, and the place of the presence of God in the middle of you. This is just all the same thing. It's all based around the reflection of the menorah and the way that you were designed to function. Okay? There's three layers which speak of government, with the glory of the Lord sitting in the center of it. So you are the government of God being established on the earth because of His glory in the midst of you. Would you like me to say that for you again? You are the government of God's expression on the earth because of His glory in the midst of you. That's what the angels are terrified of, is what they see inside of you. God's desire is that all of this comes under the rulership of His sons. And the only way we're going to come into rulership here is by yielding to His purpose, His desire, and His design for your life. And when we do that, we're going to be changed and be able to bear His image. And we will become beings of creative light, because we will walk in the light, we will see the light, we will become expressions of light, and we will host the light, and then we will become the light. I really think you've had enough. Let's stand on our feet. Now please don't get freaked out that I've said some stuff that you have no grid for. Just put it aside and focus on really what God is speaking to you about over this conference time. And then later on in a couple of years, you can come back to this and go, ah, that's what he was talking about. Because actually you would have grown a bit more. My job was to stretch you so far and say, there's all of this. Let's work on this down here so we can begin to engage all of that, because eventually that's going to become my abiding place. Don't get freaked out that there seems to be so much stuff. Focus on the journey that God has in front of you and walk it out. I've been doing this for over 28 years. Is anybody that's been doing it longer than that? No, I didn't think so. So don't get freaked out that it might take you a year to work through something. Don't get worried that, oh, I've got all this stuff to do. Focus on the journey that God has in front of you. You are powerful enough to engage that journey. Your reward will be based on your direction in your journey as well as what you've accomplished in your journey. The issue is, are you on the journey? That's the real issue. So Father, tonight, Lord, we want to thank you that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and that he would walk in the ways of God. Lord, that your word would be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, that our way would be made plain before us, because our steps would be ordered by your desire. Father, as we, as a company of people and as individuals, walk down the pathway of eternal life. Lord, your word says that if we are walking on a path and we go to stray to the left or the right, we'd hear a voice behind us saying, this is the way, walk in it. Father, we ask that you would empower us to walk into the pathway of eternity, bearing our name, bearing your name, in the name of the testimony of the government of God in Jerusalem. Father, we want to thank you for your grace, that Lord, even in our little that we know, what we've done, Father, I ask that you would open up your kingdom that would become so real for these people. Father, that we would come to know the height and depth and breadth of our calling in Christ, that we would walk into the fullness of God and take on his image and become his portion in the earth, into our solar system, into our galaxy, and then into the universe. In the name of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. I really think that you guys have had quite a lot today. Enough to think on for a wee while. As I said, please don't get freaked out that this doesn't fit in your belief system or your doctrine. It's not my problem. You just got to go home and sort it out. And if you don't like it, throw it away. Again, that's not my problem. I just know where I'm going, but you just got to get on the path so you can understand where you're going as well. Amen. Have a fantastic evening. I bless you with good dreams and good journeys in the Holy Ghost. Then we'll come back tomorrow at 10 o'clock in the morning and have another good day tomorrow. We've got 4 sessions tomorrow, so we should be doing pretty well by tomorrow night. Amen. Hallelujah. Have a great evening.